Good morning and welcome to the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show.
The heart is a blue.
We are in the Strike Zone Studios. Kayak Mike here with
Shoots
the Crowd. HP.
Yo.
UF Angler.
That's right. It's a
He's
good
back.
Day.
He's back.
It's a good day.
Judge let you out of the courtroom?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, still got a few bond restrictions, but no big deal.
What's so good about this day?
Today is the Southern Super Bowl, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Florida, Tennessee.
So HP comes in and says, who are the Gators playing this morning?
Today you can finally put to rest all the media idiots.
Oh, that's a good word. Mediates.
Yeah, they can all stop going, can Tim Tebow throw? I got to see Tim Tebow throw. Today, Tim Tebow will throw.
Uh-oh.
Tim Tebow will run.
And we'd line him up
Florida
on defense if
roll.
We need him.
I'll tell you, you could probably put the kid at defensive tackles with Scary, and he'd make a couple of stops, you know?
Yeah. So welcome back from Planet Indiana.
You guys got a man crush on Tebow.
We do.
I know. It's all right.
Man, well, it's going to be tough fishing this weekend, though. You got what? Low tide at... What time's low tide today?
That's a good question.
I want to say it's going to... Well, right now. Right now.
Oh, is it right
super,
now?
Super early, because I was out fishing yesterday with the family, and we were out... Low tide was about 5:30, so it'll be real good this week coming up.
4:58 at Mayport.
Once it cycles up a little bit, but it's dead low this morning, and you'll have a high tide today. The weather will be nice for it. Maybe there'll be some fishing in the grass.
Yeah, could be.
But I'll tell you, the bite was tough yesterday. But the toughest part, I got to tell you a story about yesterday, guys. We had a physically demanding day. Now, I know Hacker was here late last night, and you know, he comes in and we're telling our horror stories. And Kayak Wife, well, we had a, it was just a long day. So we're launching over there at Oak Harbor. Guys get out of school, you know, little Friday reward, let's go.
Fish. Yeah, Oak Harbor, nice, easy launch, easy in,
yeah,
easy
yeah.
out. I mean, just perfect
yeah.
place. Okay.
Grabbed our bait over at B&M, has our shrimp, and I'm over there dumping the kayaks out. And, you know, water's really low on the ramp, and I didn't think real hard about
Uh-oh.
How slick.
I see what's coming
ramp.
Now.
Yes, guys.
Yeah, it
here,
does.
Can I hold up my hip to the microphone?
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I'm walking down the ramp, and I'm carrying a milk crate full of stuff to throw in one of the kayaks. And next thing you know, it was just like out of Bugs Bunny or something, you know.
Boom.
And I mean, you know, I'm tall, so, you know, it's like a fall from 3 or 4 feet straight back. Bam, man, right on my hip and stuff. And I let out a... few choice adult words. Some of the other families at the ramp came running over and helped me. You know, my stuff was all over the place, and I was like, oh, my God. That just happened.
That is not the place to fall down.
It wasn't like, you know, I haven't had a moment like that in 4 or 5 years on ramps. You know, you've had those moments where you slide, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah, you go, almost.
There's almost. So that was...
You paid the bill that time.
An inauspicious beginning.
Ouch. Because those things, you know, they're ribbed and they stick up. It's not a good place to fall down.
Yeah, be careful on
I've done it before.
Good thing, though, with kayaks, at least you don't have the boat trailer there. I've watched guys slip, fall, hit their winch, hit the side
Ouch.
Of the boat trailer.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've done it myself. So.
Yeah, if there was something to grab onto, I probably would have just gotten hurt twice as bad.
Any boat ramp you can fall on, but I'll tell you what, when you get a chance to go down to the Keys, and then, you know, they've passed, like, ordinances down there where they have some that they're just letting be reclaimed, and so they won't let anybody put any new concrete out there. They won't let them do anything. And we had stayed at a real nice place in Marathon, but this boat ramp, and you would have thought the government was out there spraying some kind of weird lubricant on it or something. And so you'd go out there and it'd be early 30 in the morning. You'd watch people fall and it'd be great. And then you'd watch them come back after 12 hours of boozing and fall twice as much. But I was like, I can't believe there's not like a waiver of liability sign here or something. I mean, everybody was getting hurt out there. But, you know, like they say, falling in Mayport or falling in the Keys, it always feels better to fall in the Keys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, so that was just the beginning, guys.
Oh, no.
And we get out there and you know, we get Wyatt and Emmett on the kayaks. And there's the usual fight over who gets to go at which kayak first. And we got... I don't know. That's the way it is with two kids.
Who
it doesn't
gets
matter
what
pole. Which one of them always wants to be on the other one, you know.
Yeah, who gets the biggest shrimp?
Yeah, yeah, the same deal. So we get out there and we paddle and we start going up some creeks, some of our usual places, and And, you know, it started off decent. Wyatt hooked up with a flounder, you know, on some of those usual spots. And all of a sudden, you know, I could see that tip, peck, peck, peck. And then he hooked it up good and brought a flounder into the boat. And we were like, all right, yeah, this is happening pretty good.
It's a good day.
Then the rain came, guys.
Oh, yeah. you were out there in that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And so we could see the clouds coming at us out of the southwest. And, of course, the wind's blowing, you know, south-southeast. You know, I just can't figure out what's going on here in the summer, you know. The fronts are moving in from where they're moving in from, and the wind that you feel is not necessarily the wind that's driving that front through.
Yes.
And so, you know, we get rained on once, and we're laughing, and, you know, it's okay. Then it stops raining, and then we're all the way to the back of this creek, you know, up there by Wonderwood Bridge.
Yep.
And we get to a spot where we finally hook up with a really nice red. And you know, got a bump, and I was like, I think there's a fish there. And so start reeling, and of course he was headed right for us, and sets the drag and everything, and breaks us off on an oyster bed.
Mm.
This was it was raining again.
Yeah.
You know, and I was saying, you know, we've never caught a fish in the pouring rain. You know, we're going to catch a good red in a hard rain, and dang, got busted off. So we're back there, but we hadn't heard thunder. And you know how thunder sets off the little people and wives.
I don't like
You know, and I've been rained out a handful of times lately. I was thinking thunderstorm, I'm gonna head for the bridge. You know,
right?
We're gonna get ourselves a little bit of shelter. And so we it starts thundering, and the kids start picking up a little bit, saying they'd be. You know, you know the special way your kids say we'd be more comfortable if we left.
Yeah, they start to squirm.
Kind of thing.
They start looking up.
Yeah. So, you know, after that, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, it's just the perfect tide now. The rain has stopped. We're back here on the shallows. You know, we just hooked one. There's got to be a handful of slotties back in here. Wasn't to be. So we started working our way out of this place and came back up to, you know, where you can make that turn and head back up under the Wonderwood Bridge. And it rains on us again. And then stops, and we're almost to the bridge when it starts pouring, so I just start stroking for the bridge. I'm like, we're getting there. So we pull up under the bridge, and we're hanging out there, you know, on the beach, and first thing I said to Wyatt, I was like, look, there's a lot of oysters and things around here. You know, there's some of those, you know, big mounds of oysters, too. I was like, don't be running and jumping off of them. You'll slip and cut yourself. So, you know, back turned, everybody's under there, and we're hanging out a little bit, and kids are, oh, this is so cool being under a bridge, this is the coolest thing, you know, and next thing I hear are the screams.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Wyatt had forgotten what I had just so quickly said to him, and, you know, was running over to show us a fiddler crab or something that he had caught, and cut himself up pretty good on some oyster bed. So kayak wife gets out the emergency kit, and you know you and I, we have emergency kits. Goes to show you about first aid on the water. You know, we have what, a couple Band-Aids?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe one of those things.
Lucky.
That looks like the napkins you'd get at Kentucky Fried, but one with disinfectant on
yeah,
it.
I was looking left to right when you were like, yeah, we got first aid kits, right?
Yeah, I was like, man, I probably should have one, but I don't know if I do. Does a fish tail count as a first aid kit?
Yeah, it's like John Yak Jack's first aid. You know, he rips off his shirt, tears it to bits, and ties tourniquets. So, you know, thank goodness Mama had all that stuff out, and, you know, she got all the disinfecting foams and
right. She's
wraps
ready.
Yeah. And all kinds.
She's been waiting
of,
for that moment for years.
She pulls out the Johnson & Johnson tackle box of first aid. Okay, it was thank goodness. She's always prepared. And, you know, got him cleaned up and everything. And so, you know, it went from being the coolest thing in the world, according to the kids, I never want to come
back
to my friends again.
Hey, Bridges.
But you know, so we ultimately come on back, and, you know, we caught a few fish under there, little croakers and some of this and that. And we came back just before the heavier rains, more rains, came and hit us again.
Yeah.
And we get back to the ramp, you know, go clean up, put everything away, and get back to the house. And kayak wife has come, look at this. And we get a closer look at the gash in his shin. And it's smiling at you pretty big and
Ooh.
Deep. And it still has some dark stuff in it, even though we'd already tortured him with peroxide and alcohol. So it was off to Wolfson's, the emergency room for him. And to his credit, he was a tough guy. He ended up with 6 or 7 stitches. You're out
oh, really?
There, Wyatt.
Oh.
We've all been there, buddy.
Yep.
Is this your first time? His little brother's already had stitches, so...
Stay away from that.
So, Hacker, we had a long night ourselves. Well, it was longer for Kayak Wife, who did the truck into the hospital with the little guy. And I guess he's feeling a little better.
And let me guess, Kayak Mike is fully responsible for this incident?
Whose idea was it to go to the bridge?
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, come
exactly.
on. Come on. You know,
that bridge is haunted. You should stay away from that bridge. Yeah. Bad things happen under there. That's where XXL did his little dump at the first.
Oh, that is the first tournament. That's
first
where
tournament.
He decided to go wade fishing.
According to him, he almost died there.
He went wade fishing in
yeah.
45 degrees and 25 knots of wind northeast.
You know, he caught a fish, and I left him there. I said, okay, it's a perfect spot. It's only his second time out, I think. And he said he got sideways. Yeah, that current runs there pretty good. He got sideways, and next thing you know, he dumped, and he had on sweatpants. He had those big Deadliest Catch boots, those big white Deadliest Catch boots that just filled up with water. He had a big Ohio State Buckeye shirt on. And you know
exactly.
Might have been
exactly.
Shirt. That's what it
that's
was.
That's like having bananas in your yak. You don't paddle around in a Buckeye shirt in Florida, man.
Yeah.
We went smallmouth fishing in Ohio, and we had gator shirts. We too would be dumped.
Right.
I'm telling you,
that's
just karma.
Right.
That's true.
You know, he's holding on to the pilings there underneath that bridge, getting cut up by the barnacles, and
ooh.
Thinking about sharks.
Oh, hanging on to the pilings because that was really.
Yeah, it was not a good day to do that. I mean, there was the wind and the banging, and he had a hold of the kayak.
Oh.
And I was like, dude, just let the kayak go. I mean, save yourself. But anyway,
yeah,
bad things happen under that bridge.
Well, anywhere. And you got to be careful with the kayak and with current.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
even when it's not in the water. You know, I think it was, I got an email a week or two ago from, there was an accident on 295, and a kayak had come off of a car.
Oh, really?
Yep. Came off a car, and we've had other reports of this happening,
yeah.
horror stories, like from Fishing Gator,
yeah.
about being on the Fuller Warren, having to go pick up his kayaks, and, you know, traffic's whizzing by. But in this case, a kayak came off a car, and I guess it did, you know, it hit and impacted some cars behind it,
mm-hmm.
and they had, you know, some issues, and I guess whoever dropped the kayak either wasn't aware of it, or I don't know, but I don't know, what would you call that, Bretta? Drop kayak and run accident.
They need to call Brett Hastings.
So.
Well, no, you're liable, though. I mean,
it's
coming off of your car. I mean, it's as if you're getting in an accident or what have you. And you think about it, too. I mean, probably wherever the kayak's going to come off the car, you're at a pretty good rate of speed, and you're probably out there on something like that. You know, I mean, anybody knows, doesn't matter how well you've got the thing strapped, if you ever are taking the Dames Point to eliminate going across the ferry or anything, and you get up there, and like you said, you know, the winds will be going the opposite direction of what you're thinking or anything, and you get up there. No matter how well you've got it, you're kind of always looking up. And if it's strapped to the top of your vehicle, you're kind of watching it. But imagine if it comes off there, you got 3 lanes of traffic or what have
you. Yeah, you got to really take some care, and that's the message here. I got an email from our buddy, Jacksonville CSI Mac.
Right.
And, you know, does anyone know who owned this thing? Or, you know, if anyone wants to claim it.
That's the part. I didn't know the other half of that story.
So I'm not sure how that thing all ended up. I think they put a post on the website trying to gather some more information. But I did ultimately get an email from one of the people who was impacted by this. I think it knocked off a rearview mirror that came through a window. And then, you know, and drove some glass over the driver. And they had to get, you know. Get a little bit.
Yeah, the message is strap that thing down good.
So,
I mean, because they are 70-pound projectiles.
And they say, too, what a lot of people don't do, but one of the most single important things to do is to tie down, you know, the front and the rear of it. Not just, you know, everybody straps it to the racks, but to have a front line that goes down and clicks onto it, because that's going to help with the positioning of it once it kind of gets free or loose. I know.
And it's
Grateful
secondary
Red
secondary straps as well,
right?
In case something fails.
Well, no, and it's like, I guess what Grateful Red had his come off, but literally had the racks come off. He had it strapped down and tied down, and I think Yakima ended up sending him a new set. So you can be as diligent as you want, but you really got to look at everything. You got to look at what you're strapping it down to. And if you look at some of these factory racks, are just flimsy. You know, end up being plastic and not too much else. So,
Well, yeah, so that is the lesson. Be careful. It's like anything else that somebody can be, you know, towing around. You're responsible for it, and you know, be courteous to others, but take all of the proper precautions. Well, we got Jeff McGovern on the line, but we're going to go ahead and roll out and hit our first pause, and when we come back, we'll be on with our boy from Palatka, Jeff McGovern. This is the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show.
Hey, this is Captain Kevin Faber from the Flanders Outdoor Show. We have now come on over to 1010XL to talk about the outdoor sports, and I'm not talking about football, baseball, and basketball. Our sports include tides, moon phases, bait, hooks, ammunition, guns, and major fishing trends. The Flanders Outdoor Show is where you can get the latest hunting and fishing information. So pull up a rocking chair on the front porch of the Flanders Outdoor Show with me, Captain Kevin Faber, Jeff Loggeman, and Captain Kirk Waltz from 7 to 10 every Saturday morning right here on 1010XL.
Malibu kayaks are designed with fishermen like us in mind. They're the most stable and dry fishing kayaks on the market, and there's no substitute for being comfy and relaxed when you're out on the water. If you're paddling through the surf to target big game like tarpon or headed to the skinniest creeks to hunt tailing reds, a Malibu kayak will get you there in unrivaled comfort and convenience. All of the boats in the Malibu fleet have awesome storage options with plenty of convenient hatches, rod holders, and all the room you'll ever need for your fishing tackle and gear. And if you're a big boy like me, a Malibu Extreme or X-Factor is the ticket for you. Make sure you rig your Malibu with Crack of Dawn accessories so you're ready for fish catching action. From super comfy seats, hatches, dry bags, and leashes to kayak carts and storage systems. Come to Strike Zone Fishing at 11702 Beach Boulevard and test paddle a Malibu Extreme, X-Factor, Pro Explorer, or Mini X. Experience the ultimate in fishing kayaks and join the Malibu Navy today.
Choosing a realtor is a tough decision whether you're buying or selling, especially in today's challenging market conditions. The last thing you need is an agent that will leave you up a creek without a paddle in your real estate transaction. For professional, courteous service from listing to close, Michelle Kogan of Lifestyles Realtors brings the experience and expertise you need to get the deal done. Contact Michelle Kogan for your realty needs at 904-382-5006. That's 904-382-5006. Are you looking for a top-notch supplier of plants and trees for your landscaping needs? The David James Tree Company is where your search ends. At David James, we provide quality plants and trees to contractors, nurserymen, and homeowners at wholesale pricing direct from the growers. We specialize in larger trees and shrubs, including live oaks, magnolias, crepe myrtles, palm trees, and many more. No project is too big or too small for the David James Tree Company. Whether your application is commercial or residential, we'll deliver to your job site, holding yard, or home. Let the David James Tree Company fulfill your needs for quality plants and trees. Contact Jessica Lee at 923-1353 or email davidjamestreeco@comcast.net. That's 923-1353 or email davidjamestreeco@comcast.net.
I'll tell you what.
Is this the most familiar one?
It's the theme song.
You got to hear it to hate it, baby. So, it's all right.
Mike is stunned.
Stunned.
You're going to... Hey,
stunned. Hacker is...
Looks like
there's two walls between our producer, Hacker, and us.
Mike looks like he got kicked in the face with...
I'm getting you guys mentally prepared to hear this like 80 times today, because that band will not shut up the entire game.
I agree. Hacker, what's their deal? There's like some... Like, they hold off on playing it for some reason. I don't know what it is. Is it a big play touchdown or what?
Well, I mean, normally... the thing I don't like about Tennessee is they will play over We Are the Boys, which I think is sacrilegious. But they will do that. They play... You're not allowed to play during a play, but Tennessee and Florida State are the two bands when they come to the Swamp. That if you sit in the south end zone like I do, it's just an incredibly long day because they never, ever shut up. And I don't know what I hate worse, Rocky Top or the War Chant. It's about one and one.
Yeah, Hacker, we sat up there last weekend, and I got to tell you, that's a fabulous view. fabulous.
Where's that, South End Zone?
Yeah, we sat up there. We were like row 80, you know, section 55, and I was like, I'm not sure where this is going to be. And it was like watching Madden football. I mean, it was perfect view of the whole field.
The cool thing about the Swamp, wherever you sit, you're really not that far from, like, the sidelines or, you know, from the end zone. Whereas you'll get a Tallahassee, you sit in one of those end zones, it's, you know, it's like at this 20-degree protracted angle. You'll be up 35 rows. You feel like you're a mile and a half away from the stadium.
Yeah, great
which makes me mad because they built that with my taxpayer dollars, you know? So I would expect a little bit more for my one trip every other year. But
well, it is the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show, even though we want to talk football.
Yeah, what were you guys talking about? I kind of drifted out there.
It's Florida, Tennessee.
Tennessee. When do they play?
Big day for us.
Oh, today?
So, yeah, big day for National Championship University.
it's tough for IU boy, you know? Yeah. I mean, he could live in just this ignorance, this bliss world and not worry about football. But you look around even in basketball, and Mike, who's the defending national champs in basketball?
That one does hurt. I'll give you that.
Is that
Florida
Gators? Who was the defending national champs who defended that last national championship? That was the Florida Gators.
We've got caller in here. Mr. McGovern, how you doing this morning, brother?
Well, I'm doing just fine, gentlemen. And if the weather holds, because honestly, I don't know, my internet system was messed up this morning. I am currently headed eastbound toward an unknown destination, sort of kind of close to the 206 bridge area in Crescent Beach.
Well, are you going to actually fish somewhere other than the bridge this morning?
Well, I don't know. I guess I could go on the other side of it. It's been nice. I got out for a couple of hours yesterday, and I did some silly fishing yesterday. So that's always fun. That's where you take out the weird and unusual fishing poles that you've acquired and fish with those and realize there is another side to the life of fishing besides the real fancy, high-end graphite, real delicately balanced stuff.
You use the SpongeBob?
No. Yesterday I used my pigtail rod.
Okay. Well, you know, radar doesn't look too bad. It looks a little bit, around Jack's Beaches and maybe north of Jacksonville is a little bit of precip. But you look all right down there in St. Aug, according to this map.
Well, that'll work because yesterday morning when I got there, because I just had a few hours, Dumas was standing there on the seawall pitching mud minnows, and he said, "Man, will you look at those tarpon rolling around out there?"
Oh, wow.
So I missed out on those because I get near a tarpon and they look at me and laugh and chuckle. But
they're laughing at your pole you're using.
So, well, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was going to say, one of these days I'll hook into one of those, but as many times as I've actually hooked up on a tarpon, never, ever landed one. I've had them spit lures for, 15 years and still never have gotten one to the boat.
Well, it's bound to happen, man. So, hey, I spoke to our friend Jeanette this week down there at what used to be Coastal Kayak.
Oh, excellent. Such nice people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I never realized that her husband, Ken, is the fellow that ran Guana. You know, Ken Burke, I guess, ran the Talamato Reserve and building that new building down there. And, I recognized his name, and I never put two and two together that they were the ones that took that over. And what are they calling it now? Shady Tree?
Shady Oyster.
Shady Oyster.
Shady Oyster.
Fish Camp, and it's down there at 206 A1A.
They're trying to do some improvements with it. And the thing is, just like before, though, you walk in there, you're greeted with a smile, and you're greeted with good information. And it's a pleasant place to go. And the thing I like, too, is that a person can go there with their family and feel safe. And that's not always the case in a lot of places we like to fish.
Yeah, it's real good parking. It's a nice fish camp. They got a good launch. They've got all the goodies, plenty of tackle, good live bait. And they've got good kayak rentals, too, there, right?
Oh, yes, they do. And I believe it's Wilderness System kayaks for the most part. And they have some sit inside. They have a whole bunch of sit on top. Some of them are already rigged up, so all you got to do is bring your rod. And they used to have rental of fishing equipment, and they may still do that. I just haven't asked the new folks if they had it because Brad had it before.
Yeah, they probably do. She sounded like she really has a lot of enthusiasm for doing things right and for having a lot of fun with the fishing and the non-fishing people.
I believe so, and I think anybody that goes there that just wants to go on the water, great place to try out a kayak because, hey, as you guys know, I'm not into the paddling so much as I'm into the fishing.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, let me ask you, have you ever gone into Moses Creek up there?
Yes, I have.
Well, why don't we talk about Moses as our Angie's Creek of the Week this week?
We could do that. That's a really a nice little piece of water back there, and it's interesting when you tuck back in there a ways.
All right. Well, this is this will be your Angie's Creek of the Week moment at Angie Subs. Jack's Beach at Penman Road and Beach Boulevard, the best hot subs at Jacksonville Beach. We had a good happy hour this week, and they are good enough to take care of us when it comes to this moment of Creek of the Week. So Moses Creek is right there. Is that just north of the bridge, Jeff?
That's correct. Just north of the bridge. It's actually a very easy paddle as well.
Yeah, at 206?
Yes, sir.
And so what's it like when you know, obviously the launch there is really easy. You can either launch where you usually launch, at the bridge, or are you launching at the fish camp now itself?
I launch at the fish camp right now, and, of course, that's on the east side of the Intercoastal Waterway. Some folks will launch on the west side of the bridge. There's a lot of parking and such right there, but it's somewhat undeveloped. Also, at low tide, the west side of the bridge can be a real challenge for some folks if they don't realize when you lose 4 or 5 feet of water, you're scooting over mud, and that's not always as much fun.
And the launch, how about launching from the fish camp at low? Is that not really a problem there?
Not a problem at all. It's so well set up. You just pull onto the beach, and he's got a wood ramp there. You can just drag your kayak right up the ramp and, frankly, just drag it across the lawn, and then you only have to pick it up once if you load it right there at the edge of the parking lot. So it's kind of convenient in that regard.
Well, I'm looking at it on the map as you're talking to us, and it looks like there's some good flats that kind of front the entrance of Moses.
Yes, there are, and there's the channel kind of cuts in. There's a lot of grass around the edges, and a lot of times what I'll do if I'm working that area is I'll just start working the grass edges on that channel, and it winds around, and you can probably see that on your overhead view there. And as you go in back and forth on the cut, a lot of times I'll find the fish tucked up underneath the edge of the grass. And then I don't know if it shows it on the map, but there's a real high bank when you first go in there. And there's picnicking and such in that area up on top. And I'm not sure what park that is, but there's pretty good fishing around the brush in that area as well.
So there is a park that dumps onto Moses Creek that's public access and you could drive in there?
I'm not sure about driving in there, Mike, because I've never done it. And it's so easily accessible by kayak, I've just never bothered to look, quite frankly.
Gotcha. Well, that looks pretty good, man. And what's it like all the way up in there? I'd assume the water gets a little fresher towards the back. Have you ever... Now, we have the record of going into a creek, Jeff. You realize this is a momentous moment.
Well, I've never gone that far because as I paddle and cast and fiddle around with my lures, you know, here comes a fish and... All of a sudden, any plans I had go to heck in a handbasket, and I start dealing with that instead.
There you go.
Well, so we Moses Creek.
We have a lot of pity for you. You can't get all the way back in that creek because you catch too many fish.
Yeah, that's
well, you know, it's just one of those things. I guess I could always take the hooks off the lures and if they hold it in their mouth long enough, but it doesn't seem to work for me. It just I make a cast in some of those grass beds, and you get hooked up, and it's like, well, that's it. Can't go no farther today.
Jedi, you need the Jedi mind trick. There are no fish in Moses Creek.
But remember, Jeff, take our safety warning to heart. Be
What's
careful
that?
Under the bridges. Watch out for the oysters.
Yeah,
They'll take out a good man, okay? So whatever you do, there might be some rain out there. Don't be jumping around on the oysters under 206, okay?
I never, because that's like a bunch of rusty razor blades that are dirty.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you may have missed the beginning of the show, Jeff. We had a run to the emergency room last night for stitches on a little boy from under a bridge.
Oh, I am so sorry. That has to be horribly painful.
Yeah. Well, he was a very gutsy little guy, and he's all the better for it now. Now he'll have something to remember it by.
Oh, well, you'll carry those scars forever as a mark of manhood.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep. There you go.
And the fish stories related will only grow.
Right.
I think I caught an 11-pound flounder earlier, and then darn it, man.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, any time a man gets injured, that adds pounds and inches to whatever you catch or shoot.
Yeah, and you earn it. You earn it. All right, go get them.
Yeah, go get them, Jeff.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great show.
Yeah, hey, we appreciate the call, and you have a good morning out there on the water, buddy.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, we'll see you. Jeff McGovern, our bug man at large.
Bug man.
Yeah, you know, he gave me a handful of these. They look like roaches.
Yeah.
That's how they get their business. You know, he's in commercial
Big Florida roaches.
Yeah, Florida roaches. He's in commercial pesticides, I guess, and that sort of stuff. He's or a corporate with Orkin.
Right.
And he gave me a bunch of those, and boy, they do wonders when you leave one in the sink.
Yeah.
For the wife to find.
I did that to my daughter with one of them.
Yeah, that's pretty cruel. Pretty cruel.
She thought it was pretty neat.
So, hey, all right, well, let's go ahead and hit our next break here. That was our Angie's Creek of the Week. Thanks to Angie Subs, Jack's Beach, Beach Boulevard, and Penman Road. Get over there and get a hot sub. Come for the food. Stay for the scenery. This is the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show, and we'll be right back.
Whether you're new to kayak fishing or an experienced yak angler, Strike Zone Fishing on Beach Boulevard is the place to shop for all your kayak fishing needs. If you're shopping for a new fishing kayak, rigging your ride with the latest accessories, or looking for the perfect tackle to get hooked up, Strike Zone has the right products and knowledgeable staff to get you on the water and on the fish. Check out Strike Zone's kayak showroom and test drive the best fishing kayaks in town. After finding the one that's right for you, let Strike Zone's friendly staff rig your kayak from their huge selection of paddles, seats, rod holders, and safety equipment. Finish up with the finest tackle and equipment at Strike Zone's everyday low prices, and you'll see why Strike Zone Fishing is Jacksonville's kayak fishing headquarters. Come and shop for Malibu, Heritage, Emotion, Ocean, and Old Town Kayaks at Strike Zone Fishing at 11702 Beach Boulevard near the 9A interchange. Look for the big blue marlin. You can't miss it.
This is Captain Vaughn Cochran of Black Fly Outfitter. Did you ever think about taking up fly fishing? Black Fly Outfitter is the home of friendly service, expert advice, the Vaughn Cochran Marine Art Gallery, and free fly casting lessons for life. We'll show you how to tie the knots and tie the flies. Plus, we offer hosted fly fishing trips to our favorite spots around the world. Come to one of Black Fly Outfitter's two stores, in historic St. Augustine on Avalee Street, or in Jacksonville at Beach Boulevard and 9A in the Strike Zone Fishing Center.
This is Brett Hastings, wondering how you define personal injury. Is it a broken leg, a permanent scar or a head injury, or even the loss of a loved one's life? Personal injury in its very broadest definition is a key practice area of Resnicek, Frazier & Hastings, the beach's full-service law firm. You can count on us to apply our years of personal injury and trial experience to your unique situation. Call us at 904-567-1060 or check us out on the web at rfhlaw.com.
Choosing a realtor is a tough decision whether you're buying or selling, especially in today's challenging market conditions. The last thing you need is an agent that will leave you up a creek without a paddle in your real estate transaction. For professional, courteous service from listing to close, Michelle Kogan of Lifestyles Realtors brings the experience and expertise you need to get the deal done. Contact Michelle Kogan for your realty needs at 904-382-5006. That's 904-382-5006.
On your feet and celebrate your Hoosier pride as the Marching 100 presents Indiana Fight!
Here we go.
Right now,
let's go, Hoosiers.
Eight people in a stadium are screaming and going crazy. Down seven touchdowns with everybody at the bar. It's IU football.
Defend the rock, baby.
God, it's that fishing show where they keep playing college football.
The most storied coach in our history is Lee Corso.
Hey. You know, I was at Indiana when Lee was there, and some unusual stuff one
Lee
time.
Lee Corso was at Indiana?
Yeah, he was coaching Indiana.
Really?
And he used to do some crazy stuff. One time I was at the game, and it was against Ohio State, and we scored a touchdown, 7-0. And he called a timeout, and he ran the team down in the end zone because there's a big scoreboard behind there.
Take a picture.
And they took a picture of the scoreboard because it was 7-0 Indiana over Ohio State. He was quite the character.
Oh, God, Will. That's – I never
you really – you got to like the guy. I mean, he catches a lot of flack from everybody. He's kind of a boob, but I think he's sincerely, truly a boob.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, at one time
show.
He was a hot coach. He was – coached Louisville. I mean, he brought them to respectability and took them to a bowl game. I think they went 10-1 or 10-2 one year, and then Indiana hired him, and I don't know what happened. But then he kind of became a cartoon. But
well, if you're listening out there, give us a call at 641-1010. I know a bunch of y'all have got to be on the way to the today is cleanup day for the city of Jacksonville.
Today is the 22nd annual International Coastal Cleanup. You know, I think there's somewhere around 30 countries that participate in this, but city of Jacksonville, through their Clean It Up, Green It Up, has put together a program where The city itself has put together a program where they're cleaning up, like, Joe Carlucci boat ramp and the beaches and areas like that. And the kayak group decided we wanted to pitch in, so we formed up some teams. And there's probably 30 or 40 of us going to get out and clean up the White Shell area and Hallover Creek and Sherman's Creek and places like that. And I know there's 30 or 40 of you guys out there heading to, and girls, heading to these places. So give us a call, 641-1010.
Yeah,
and let us know.
I spoke to Jessica of David James Tree Company last night, and you know, I was going to be heading that way to help out over at Sherman's Creek, and she's the Sherman's Creek organizer for that area that you guys set up. And you know, it was JR, if you're out there listening, we thought you were going to be with us this morning.
Yeah, we had a microphone and everything. Where are you at,
man? You know, we know you were. I called up at what was it, 9:30 or something after we'd come back, and kayak wife was off to the hospital with one of the kids, and I called over there. I got 10 people at my house and they're drinking and we haven't even put the steaks on the grill, and I'm thinking, yeah, and you're going to be at the studio at 6 a.m. and they've scheduled this cleanup for 7 a.m. and I guess there's a call from one of our guys. Let's talk to Scott Fisher. How you doing, bro?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Are you in the car?
I am on my way down to Browns Creek right now.
There you go. He's one of our site captains. He's a fearless leader.
I may be the only one down there, but I'm on my way.
Scott, what was with the 7 a.m. start, dude?
Is that too early?
Well, like, you know, I don't know. Is there light at 7?
That's what I had.
Well, I want to get this over with so I can go fishing.
Okay, so some of the people in your group got their yaks with you, all ready to put in afterwards and go hit the water?
That's exactly right.
Now, that's a commendable strategy. Okay.
Pit Poke and I are definitely going fishing. I'm not sure of the other guys. I know KDH had a family member or a friend coming in from out of town, so we're going to have to see how that goes.
Sweet. So you're going to go and grab your bait afterwards, or are you going to go lures today?
Yeah, I think I'll just grab the bait afterwards. There should be some bait left.
All right, well, take some good pictures. I want to see a picture of, you know, from each site of the groups, you know, who has the biggest set of trash bags around.
We'll do it if I have to do it myself.
there'll be plenty of
people. So what else do you know this morning, Scott?
What's that now?
What else do you know this morning, brother?
Well, you know, this is the first time I've been able to call into the show. I don't usually get up this early, but, you know, it's a good cause, and we're looking forward to getting out there and cleaning these sites up. You know, people just have no regard sometimes for where we fish. You know, there by the JEA plant, they had to block that off because people were trashing it up. And so maybe if we do what we can keep these sites clean, keep them from shutting them down on us.
Yeah, because the city's not going to clean up these sites. I mean, these aren't really known locations. The city wanted said, well, give me the address where this trash is going to be. And I'm like, I have no idea what kind of address. What are you talking about? It's sitting on the side of the road. It's like a mud spot in the side of the road, wasn't you?
Yeah.
So I had to,
next to the bridge.
Yeah, I had to print out some overhead shots and just mark it with an X and say the trash will be somewhere around here. Just go get it. You know, it'd be nice if the city put some barrels there or something, but you know, people fish there, and they leave their lawn chairs and their coolers and their trash. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
So.
Well, even though they're not parks, it'd be cool if we could get set up to adopt these launches.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, put up a little sign and you know, actually go out there once a month and take care of them, and then we could, you know.
Yeah, that definitely might help. If somebody knew that somebody was taking ownership of these, and they might, you know, if you did have a sign or something there, just put that thought in people's head that, you know, there is somebody that's responsible and does have to clean up. Maybe some people pick up after themselves. But some of these places get so trashed out, it's just ridiculous. So.
Yeah, and if anybody knows anybody at JEA that had anything to do with putting that chain up there, maybe we could come up with a plan like that so they could open that back up for us.
Yeah, well, we'll have to get with Gilligan and see if we can get in touch with the right powers that be and see if we can work something out. Well, right. Cool, Scott.
All right, guys.
We'll hook up with you a little later, and we appreciate the call, pal.
Okay, you guys have a good show.
Hey, you have a good one this morning. Let's go see what Mark's got. Mark, you're on the Jack's Kayak Fishing Show, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm just headed out to the White Shell area to help with the cleanup.
Yeah. All right.
White Shell's a big area, and it's got a lot of places they're cleaning up today. So.
Yeah, I've never crawled in before, so.
So
I haven't either.
Which side of White Shell are you guys going to catch?
We don't know yet. We're going to try and hit it all, but there's probably 8 or 9 of us heading out that way, and I don't know if that's going to be enough people to catch it all or not.
Well, it'll certainly make a
long stretch.
Yeah, we're just trying to get it started. The city has told me, the people at Clean It Up, Green It Up told me that they would, if we were to do this again, that they would arrange for the pickup. So it's just kind of get us started and get us going, and then hopefully it'll be an ongoing thing. Every couple months we'll pick a spot. And
that would be a good thing, because I know I've spent a lot. I work out near JEA, and Hexer Drive is a mess. Any place there's an access to the water off of Hexer is just been trashed.
Yeah, a lot of people like to just pull up there and, you know, pop out and, you know, throw cast net, get a little bait, and throw some rods in the water, and then just drink. Right?
Yeah, drink a case or two right there on the side of the water.
This has been ongoing for years. I worked out in Montana as a ranger for a while, and I followed a track about 5 miles up into the mountains one time with just empty beer cans and pop tops.
Tracked them all the way, did you?
Yeah, I lost them over some rocks, but if I had found them, it would have not been pretty.
Yeah.
So have you got your kayak with you, Mark? You going to put it in afterwards?
I don't think so. I'm a little on the older side. I think 4 or 5 hours of this is probably going to do me in, and I'll probably go home. I'll probably head out to Little Talbot Island and throw my suit on and just go soak in the water for a little bit, then go home.
Yeah, pull up in front of some football this afternoon.
Well, don't let them kill you out there. Like,
no, I'm not going to.
As I told these guys, we're just out there for a few hours, do what we can do, because it's going to take a lot more than 4 or 5 hours to clean up Hexer Drive.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, it's going to take a few months of
this is just a start.
But we should get somebody to snap some pictures. It sounds like it's a pretty good turnout for initially, and as far as getting some feedback from the city and showing sort of what the kayak community would do, it'd be great.
Yeah, I brought my camera with me. If I can get some shots and figure out how to download them to the site, I'll do it.
Yeah, get some before
get,
and
get
after.
Get the crew with the garbage bags.
And a number of bags and group photos and things like that for us.
I'll try it.
Well, all right, Mark. Well, hey, you guys have a good morning, and be safe out there. I know I'll be hooking up with the Sherman's Creek crew after the show here.
Okay, great.
All right. Hey, Brett, remember last time we fished white shell?
Oh, yeah. It looked like it was something out of... What's the show where the guys drive around in the 18-wheelers in the cold?
Oh, yeah.
Ice Road Truckers?
Yeah, it felt like Ice Road Truckers. You would never, ever, ever... know that you could be that cold in a kayak. And it wasn't, I mean, what was the air temperature wasn't that bad that day.
Oh, I was just remembering the doofus moves I pulled at the launch. Remember getting my truck stuck?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Trying to pull me out and, you know.
That was the last trip, but it was two trips before that. You remember we went out there, it was like a 25-mile-an-hour northeast wind. We're
chilly.
Fishing white shell.
Lots of cover.
Yeah, we're out.
It's a Saturday morning. We're listening to the outdoor show.
Listen to the outdoor show. He's got all of the gear that I didn't have that day, the headlights. So he's out there tying and rigging. I'm just sitting in absolute black darkness, you know, 25. The wind, didn't it? We thought we were going to get out, catch 2 hours and no wind. The wind was already cranking. And I just remember it was like my hands were like, you know, in the shape of my paddle for like 2 hours after.
Frozen there.
It was.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, though. You will go out there and take the beating, because when white shell produces, man, does it produce.
Yeah, it's got the rocks right there on the river, and it's a lot of fun pitching up against those rocks. I know DOA Rob, he's the master with the DOA shrimp, and he just tosses that shrimp right up there, works the inside of those rocks mostly on the outgoing tide, and he'll turn around and catch the outside on the incoming. And you always see people in their boats out there, you know, float fishing, and it's a really good spot over there.
2-0 but redfish catching inept guys like Mike Kogan and Brett Hastings can show up at White Shell and catch nice trout.
Yeah,
so that might
say
that's one of the best things. You go in there, you feel like you're DOA Rob for a day.
Until you
look over and realize DOA Rob's caught twice as many trout.
That's what's sad. You know, you're out there thinking, I'm having a great day. I got 13 trout. I got half a stringer's worth here. And DOA comes off paddling up there. And, you know, about half hour later, you're like, how many you got, Rob? 20.
Yeah.
and always catches size. Is amazing. I mean, decent-sized trout.
Yeah.
He's an intense fisher. I said this before, and I went with him one time, and I was just amazed. I just kind of sat there and watched him for a while, because he's intense. I mean,
yeah.
I, I go out there and have fun, just float around, catch fish, and he's out there for a reason.
I'll tell you that he's a guy like Frank Gregor. They really know what they're doing. They're committed to their techniques. But both those guys, they got the mojo too. Because I'm going to tell you right now that you could probably make the cast on your rod and you'd hand it over to one of those two guys and boom, there'd be a hit. So you'd go, well, it's my cast, my rigging, everything.
Oh, that's the DOA comes right behind you. You know, he's catching all those fish where you just were. It's absolutely demoralizing. And you know, he can catch it all. And you know, he's just. Very versatile guy. And whiteshell, you know, you can catch more than just the trout there. You got flatties lining up on those sloughs in there. I was with Florida Boy there once, and we actually, and I'll have you know this, Florida Boy saw it, Kayak Mike catching a red on topwater. Topwater.
Whoa.
Yeah, how about that, man? Yeah, he flared up and missed and let it sit there for a second, and he came back and smacked it. But
nothing better than that.
You know, there's flats back in there, and then, you know, it's deeper up there by some of those cuts around the rocks. But
and you get some of the big, oversized redfish that'll periodically come if you're fishing outside those rocks, which you're going to have the right conditions. But
yeah, down deep in the river, especially now that the bull red run's coming up. Yeah. So, hey, we're coming up on our third break on the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show. If you want to catch us when we're not on the air, make sure you stop by Jax, J-A-X, kayakfishing.com. You can catch a podcast of the show and get hooked up with all these crazy people in the kayak fishing community here in Northeast Florida. This is the Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show, and we'll be right back.
Hey, folks, Captain Kevin Faber here with the Flanders Outdoor Show, and we have moved over to 1010 XL. Lockman.
That's right, and we're going to talk about the outdoor sports. I'm not talking about baseball and soccer and cricket, fishing, hunting, tides, moon phases, bait reports. That's what we deal with.
And not only that, but some great stories from all of our callers.
So pull up a rocking chair on the front porch of the Flanders Outdoor Show right here on 1010 XL every Saturday morning from 7 to 10.
Everyone I know shops at West Marine because West Marine has everything for boating and fishing. They've got those hard-to-find parts that make your kayak setup just right. Quality electronics, fishing tackle, and now West Marine has stepped it up. They're making kayak fishing more fun by carrying premier fishing kayaks and accessories. Check out their great boats like the Perception Search Angler and the Mainstream Kingfish. Seats, paddles, and rod holders from Harmony, Seattle Sports, and Scotty. West Marine has the electronics perfect for kayak fishing, like handheld and fixed mount GPSs, fish finders, and VHF radios from Garmin, Humminbird, and Icom. They'll help you find what you need and put it all together to get you ready to catch. West Marine in Jacksonville on Blandy, Roosevelt, University Boulevard, and two stores on Beach, US 1 in St. Augustine, and A1A in Fernandina Beach. West Marine, making kayak fishing more fun.
Are you looking for a top-notch supplier of plants and trees for your landscaping needs? The David James Tree Company is where your search ends. At David James, we provide quality plants and trees to contractors, nurserymen, and homeowners at wholesale pricing direct from the growers. We specialize in larger trees and shrubs, including live oaks, magnolias, crepe myrtles, palm trees, and many more. No project is too big or too small for the David James Tree Company. Whether your application is commercial or residential, we'll deliver to your job site, holding yard, or home. Let the David James Tree Company fulfill your needs for quality plants and trees. Contact Jessica Lee at 923-1353 or email davidjamestreeco@comcast.net. That's 923-1353 or email davidjamestreeco@comcast.net.
Hey, Jacksonville Kayak Fishing Show, we're back. Nice bump, Hack. Love that tune.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be singing to 10,000 deliverance rednecks who've come down from Knoxville, Tennessee in the fourth quarter. I know you're excited. You're staying in the big, nice hotel room down here in Florida. I want you guys to enjoy yourself, but I'd like to see you out of here by the end of the third quarter, you know? And if you guys hop in the cars, you might make it to the Cracker Barrel in Valdosta before 8, all right?
There you go.
Chicken and dumplings for you.
Oh, boy.
Tell it like it is, UF Angler.
Oh, boy, here it comes.
So, hey, they're having a sale over at West Marine at the San Pablo store. Started yesterday, I guess. Runs all the way through Sunday. A big truck sale. They've got some serious deals on kayak fishing equipment and everything in the store. They're a new sponsor on the show, and we just wanted to let y'all know that that's going on over there. I know they've got the Perception Search, I think, marked down really aggressively. A great boat, a Search 13 angler. So that's awesome. The West Marine at Beach and San Pablo Road. And there's also a kayak fishing seminar coming up. Alex, Islander 1225, who's one of the managers at the store at Southside and Beach, is going to be having a kayak fishing seminar. And with special guest, John Yaks Jacks.
Oh, wow.
John Stewart. So that's going to be September 25th at 7 at the West Marine over at Beach and Southside. And it's listed at jackskayakfishing.com. So there's going to be a drawing for a gift card. And those guys will have plenty of information to relay to anyone who wants to learn a little bit more about kayak fishing.
Oh, cool. That'll be good.
So, hey, we had a pretty decent happy hour this week.
Yeah, we did.
We had Captain Chris Holloman from Florida Wildlife. You know, I never know what to call him now because he's an FWC officer, and you know he was a great fisherman and charter captain before he went into that role. And we were over there at Angie's, Brett, and Chris. You know, he brought stuff about the laws, spoke a little about the law. We pumped him for a little snook talk because he's master of some of the tougher species.
Pry it out of him.
Yeah, snook and striper, I mean, you know, and he's great red fisherman and all. But he brought a disc that had pictures, you know, of things from different crime scenes.
His evidence locker.
His evidence locker. And this was great. You know, he was telling some stories about, you know, when he was a fresh officer and going out there and inspecting some boats and what he was looking for and what he found. And the fines attached for taking some of these things, like taking egg-bearing blue crabs.
Yeah, that was
were staggering, just staggering, you know. And
it was like $210 a piece or something, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
I had like 12 of them. Ching, ching, ching.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, pictures of over and undersized fish and all kinds of things that people were doing and just couldn't. You know, you couldn't fathom that some of the people were stretching the law that big. Or
well, the one, I forget what that species was, some kind of grouper, but it had to be 40 inches short.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, this grouper's about 5 inches long, and it was supposed to be 40 to keep or something. It was a pretty funny picture.
Know, and he went into the things, you know, if you caught something that was undersized, you can't take it and cut it up and use it for bait.
Yeah.
And people were doing all kinds of things, and, you know, you don't always think about that stuff, but... You know, we really appreciate Florida Wildlife and Chris for coming over and talking to the group that way. That was really entertaining.
Yeah, the most interesting thing I found about that was that his talking about FWC and how they really train them to be police officers and not so much. I mean, we all look at them and think they're experts on everything, fishing and the fish and everything. They know everything by heart and their size and all
Did you see how big the book was?
Yeah, the book. I mean, it's like. 3 inches tall, and I'm sure it's small print, but I mean, they're really policemen. And he says, you know, they're not experts on every little thing, so they go to that Bible to get all their information.
Well,
which
don't let
I
them
know.
Undersell you, though. They go through some rigorous training.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's
I'm not
hard to
yeah,
finish
the police
that program.
Stuff
I mean,
is.
They're doing like combat driving in the woods, you know, to go after people that are poaching and all kinds of stuff. And they are tough guys.
Well, and they have a whole list of different other, you know, laws and ordinances that other people deal with. When I was a prosecutor, you know, they would also though they did the DUIs.
Right.
And so it's a DUI investigation in the same way, you know, typical law enforcement would do it. But at the same time, they would go in and they would key in these just like statutes that nobody would know. We'd get them at the state attorney's office and go, man, this thing's not coming out, because they'd have and information's what you get charged with. Well, they type in a number and it just generates a document that comes out for the lawyer. But when it's molesting a crab trap, which is a charge in the state of Florida,
absolutely,
you'd have to go and, you know, do them from scratch, because sometimes they weren't always charged. That usually it would just be done, you know, on a ticket, you know, slip or whatever. But it used to always be a joke. And, oh, FWC made a bunch of arrests, and then there would be none of the forms. So even the lawyers down there in the state attorney's office would have to go do their work to figure out, you know, what is this? And then you got the St. John's River Water Management District. They enforce all of their rules and regulations, which are separate. So they have a tough
DUI,
job.
Boating under the influence. He said he hasn't written up a kayaker yet because, you know, it's not like you'd blow out a no-wake zone in your kayak while you're under the influence. But speaking of being under the influence, what's with those shoes? What do you got there, Brett?
Got the...
He probably
these are amazing.
These are the new Mick Fanning flip-flops from Reef. And each of them have which Mick Fanning. He's a pro surfer.
F-A-N-N-I-N-G.
You got it. And
M-I-C-K, Mick Fanning.
Mick Fanning. But they've got a bottle top opener down inside each of the flip-flops, which is critical. That's coming prepared. And
now,
then
that's definitely a great tool for kayak. A shoe with built-in bottle
opener. When
you
turn
opener,
the shoe over, in the very middle of it, there's a little piece of metal and a little slot that is a bottle opener. It's amazing.
Yeah, Crocs had better catch on quick, or we're all going to be. I'm going to have to look at some Mick Fannings. Now you said they had some other models, Brett.
Yeah, they've got one other model that's actually each flip flop is a flask. So it's got a sealing little valve that goes right on the side, and you know, you go ahead and fill it up. Look, I think you get a couple solid shots out of each flip flop. So
I wonder if TSA has ever come across someone coming through airport security with like some scotch in their shoes. You know,
I don't know, but I think there might be a few that make their way into the swamp here on Saturday.
Yeah, I'd say that's the way to get the rum in.
That's an awesome idea. A little flip flop with a bottle opener on it.
And on the bottom it says patent pending.
So. Yeah.
They thought it was a good idea, too. Hired their IP lawyers and everybody else. So.
And then the flash.
That's our new product review from UF Angler.
That's right.
Mick Fanning's.
Mick
those
Fanning Reef
cool
Sandals.
Shoes.
You can get them probably at a number of our sponsors.
Yeah, Aqua East. Is that where you got them?
Yeah, got these at Aqua East. Man, they had a whole bunch of them. They got an entire wall. But, if you're looking for size 11s. As
I wonder
always,
if they come with you need to be. They need to sell it so you have one with the bottle opener and one with the flask.
There you go.
Well, you know what? They all look about the same. You probably we should go in there and we'll go buy each by a pair and we'll swap them out.
It's
then
like
you're
the
set.
Leatherman
yeah.
of shoes.
Then you're
you know,
set.
You need one with a multi-tool that comes out of the shoe. You know, it's right. Like Maxwell Smart here. We thought having a phone in a shoe was cool. Little did he know.
It's such a beach thing. It's cool.
Yeah,
it only took us, 25 years after Maxwell Smart to get that set up.
Well, you have to let us know how that works out.
I will. It's gonna get a thorough product test here about 9:30 in the morning in Alachua County. So
you guys headed down to the swamp today.
Absolutely.
Big game. And,
who are you playing?
Tennessee Volunteers. You not know Peyton Manning used to play quarterback
good.
There?
They're good.
Yeah. They are good. Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
What's that? What is that?
There we go.
There we are. We are the boys.
We are the boys from Oklahoma.
Tell it like it is. This is the Jackson Kayak Fishing Show. U.S. Angler. Going off
where the girls are the fairest, the boys are
we're
the squarest.
We're flip-flops with bottle openers in the bottom of them.
All right, let's give a little thanks to our sponsors.
With 30,000 co-eds in bathing suits, too, buddy, and they don't have that at IU.
I'm down with that.
Vic, our kayak fishing headquarters, West Marine, David James Tree Company for all your landscaping, commercial, and residential needs. Angie Subs, Jacksonville Beach. Make sure you come and see us online at jaxkayakfishing.com, JAXKayakFishing.com, the podcast, the site. Guys, it's been real. UF Angler?
Absolutely. Go fishing, go Gators.
Here's your paddler.
See you.
Whether you're new to kayak fishing or an experienced yak angler, Strike Zone Fishing on Beach Boulevard is the place to shop for all your kayak fishing needs. If you're shopping for a new fishing kayak, rigging your rod with the latest accessories, or looking for the perfect tackle to get hooked up, Strike Zone has the right products and knowledgeable staff to get you on the water and on the fish. Check out Strike Zone's kayak showroom and test drive the best fishing kayaks in town. After finding the one that's right for you, let Strike Zone's friendly staff rig your kayak from their huge selection of paddles, seats, rod holders, and safety equipment. Finish up with the finest tackle and equipment at Strike Zone's everyday low prices, and you'll see why Strike Zone Fishing is Jacksonville's kayak fishing headquarters. Come and shop for Malibu, Heritage, Emotion, Ocean, and Old Town Kayaks at Strike Zone Fishing at 11702 Beach Boulevard near the 9A interchange. Look for the big blue marlin. You can't miss it.
This is Captain Vaughn Cochran of Black Fly Outfitter. Did you ever think about taking up fly fishing? Black Fly Outfitter is the home of friendly service, expert advice, the Vaughn Cochran Marine Art Gallery, and free fly casting lessons for life. We'll show you how to tie the knots and tie the flies. Plus, we offer hosted fly fishing trips to our favorite spots around the world. Come to one of Black Fly Outfitter's two stores, in historic St. Augustine on Avalee Street, or in Jacksonville at Beach Boulevard and 9A in the Strike Zone Fishing Center.
Jacksonville Sports Radio 1010XL is WJXL, Jacksonville Beach, your home for Sports Final Radio, weekdays 6 to 10.
This is NHL Hockey Hall of Famer Pat LaFontaine. Each year, some 300,000 athletes suffer sports-related brain injuries. I was one of them. Too many concussions forced me into early retirement. The American Academy of Neurology Sports Concussion Guidelines